to curated advice on better living. Get different perspectives on personal development, like healthy habits, mindset, relationships, functional movement, and biohacking. If you're looking to improve your life, but you're overwhelmed by the endless sea of self-help content, you've found your new home. We'll talk to all sorts of people from other cultures, accessing different philosophies, real people's stories, and the lessons they've learned along the way. This is the Curated Advice on Better Living podcast. And now your host, Khaled Sultan.
Everybody has a cool story when it comes to how they got into the radio.
Okay.
What's your story? How'd you get started?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm going to confess this. A lot of the times people ask me this question and I usually used to make up some random stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I just didn't
what's the craziest story you've told someone?
Like someone heard me while I was talking in school and stuff like that. Play bullshit. Really, you know, I just didn't want to ask. Yeah. I didn't want to be asked a lot of
questions.
They're
cool stories. Yeah, I feel you.
I don't know. My mind is creative that way. And it just gets to like random places and it pops up with random stories.
You threw out several stories out there. Nobody knows the truth.
Exactly. So just maybe, you and God.
Maybe we can dispel all the rumors.
This is my record. It's being recorded right now.
You're on the record.
So I had a friend of mine. He already used to work in the radio before me. He came up to me randomly one day and he was like, why don't you come to the radio? You have a good voice and you speak good English. And at the time I was a young kid and I didn't really know how big radio was, you know, even though I used to jump around. Remember Yahoo chat?
Yeah. And you know, MSN.
MSN and stuff. Yeah. So I used to jump on Yahoo and I would get on the chat group and I would get into one of these random rooms like R&B and hip hop.
Okay.
And I would grab the microphone and I would just start talking throughout the night. It was just a part of who I am. I like to entertain. I used to get thrown out of rooms most of the times.
Way back. How old were you?
You know, when I used to do that Yahoo thing, I think I was like, what, maybe 13 or something.
So that was the beginning, huh?
Yeah. And I fell in love with this chick that lives in America that I never met.
Okay.
It was so weird, you know. I mean, she used to live in some random.
Oh, man. We've all had those, you know.
Crushes, right? Yeah. And I was like, I don't even know what you look like. You know, back in the day, you had to like scan the picture in order for you to put it on the computer.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Technology changes quick.
Yeah, horrible days. Yeah. Horrible days. I don't want to get off track. So this guy reached out and he was like, why don't you come to the radio? Honestly, I never thought they'd call me back. I just did it for the sake of
it. What was the interview like? Was there a test?
Yeah, they asked me a couple of questions, et cetera, et cetera. And then they were like, let's do an audio test.
So like, okay, I've been through that.
Yeah. So, you know, I remember the old studios, you know, we had those old studios. So I walked in and I was like, whoa, what is this? Feels like the 1970s here, you know? So I got into the room and next thing you know, they gave me a sheet of paper and they were like, read it. And for some reason, I like to make voices, right? Mm-hmm. Like I like to mimic and do stuff. So I pretended like I was this old guy reading the news. So I just read it and I was like, yeah, this is Amateur Eden. I'm broadcasting to you live. And I started reading the paper. And
how old were you?
19, 20.
Okay. Wow.
Just graduated.
Early start.
Oh yeah, definitely an early start. And I started looking through the glass and the guy at the time who did the interview, I saw his eyes pop up. And you know, when you feel like someone is really liking you.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to express it. He's like, wow, fantastic work. Came out. He's like, yeah, we'll give you a call. And that's it. I went home. They called me up 2 days or so later and they were like, yeah, we want to offer you a job. And I was like, oh, snap.
did you expect it or?
Not at all. I thought they'd never call back. So they called me back and I got into the shows and they had to train me for a while. At the beginning, I still, even though when you're in the radio, you don't know how big radio is. You know,
you have no idea how many people are actually listening.
Exactly, you know. Yeah. And I had to do it out for like a month where I was getting training. I used to do afternoon shows.
What was the training like?
Well, at the beginning, they teach you how to work with the mixer.
Right.
You know, and then after that, they teach you how to, you know, do a log sheet, how to work on the different radio systems and how to add, you know, music, commercials, breaks.
You gave me some major keys when it comes to mixing.
Can't remember that, but.
Yeah. On the evening show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, props to me. And props to you. You did a great job. So, and then after a while, they're like, yeah, we're gonna give you a live segment for 30 minutes. The shows were like 3 hours. So they were like, we'll give you the last 30 minutes of every show. And I freaked out, man. You know, I got into the studio that day and it was my first time to actually do the live segment.
They put you on the spot.
They put me on the spot. The guy just walked out. He's like, that's it. You're going on air. I was like, what? What am I supposed to say? And he's like, just figure it out.
What was the feeling like when you first went on air? I'm sure, you know, you were nervous. Because I remember the first time I went on air and I saw the on air sign and yeah, that messes with with you. People think it's easy, like you just turn on the mic. And when you have that many people listening to you, listening to every word you say, every breath you take.
I remember when that happened, and you're right, the minute you see that red light pops in, can we curse on this podcast?
You can say whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
You
can say, I was like, shit.
You can say shit. You can say
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
We independent, baby.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like that. Shout outs to all the strong independent women.
You know? Yeah, of course.
And men, too. Especially the men. So that red light just went on, and I was like, oh, shit, what am I going to say? Mm. You know how you walk into a house, and you don't know if anyone's home? Yeah. You're like, hello, hi. Yeah. You know, and then you have that squeaky voice, and you don't want to whisper, but you don't want to yell too much. That's literally how I was on air. It was embarrassing. And people are cruel, man.
People are cruel, man.
I started getting, like, messages, who's this guy? Get him off air. We want the host back. Boo. Literally, you know, they were bombing me on, the text, man. And I was like, F you know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with you? And slowly, you know, thank God, you know, I started getting better and better. And a while later, people were just like, oh, yeah, we'll overshoot. Show. I was like, oh, wow, okay.
How long did that take? And when was the, like, after the first time you went on air, when was the next time? Did you go immediately the next day?
You know, daily evening shows and afternoon shows. So I was literally on the spot every day. Sometimes I would even do weekends. And weekends were, you know, they're lively.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially Fridays and stuff like that. You know, I just picked it up, and it took me like a couple of, say, 2 months. That's when I became very confident of being in the studio on my own. And then one day they're like, you know what, we're just going to give you your own show on your own. And back in the day, we had one of those old systems where nowadays if the system crash, it just depends on the technician from the ISA to control it. At the time the system crashed, everybody crashed.
Are you talking about the old system as in the one in the other building during COVID? We had to go to the
like stuff like that,
similar to that, okay.
Where you have to use, you know, CDs and
old school.
Oh yeah, I love that. You know, I love that. I used to like print music and bring it. It was illegal. I didn't know that until they were like, you can't do that. And I was like, okay, my bad.
And on radio.
Yeah, you know, I was a kid. You know, and but yeah, sometimes the system would crash, and I would use CDs and stuff like that. But it took me a good 3 months until I picked it up. A year later, I just grew stronger and better.
So you've been in radio for what, like 7, 8 years? Or
9 years.
9 years.
Yeah,
okay.
9 years.
And you've just been going strong ever since.
Yeah, you know, 2012.
I mean, honestly, like the evening show I'm co-hosted, I always come by when you're doing the evening show just to hang out and talk. Man, you're always playing great music.
Thanks,
it's good vibes. I mean, you know, I enjoy it.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Do you feel like it's a long learning curve that you have to go through to get to the level that you're at, because things can go wrong any second? You know, we've seen it, and you're managing a bunch of things, you're talking on air, you're mixing, you're planning ahead. And
sorry, what's the question again?
Because that's one of those days.
Yeah, it's one of those
days. It wasn't a very direct question.
It was very deep, you know.
Yeah, it was very deep,
and I was just swimming in the thought of how deep it is. And I was like, yo, this dude is being deep, man, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, I mean, this place is, you know, we got candles here.
Yeah.
Not to paint the wrong picture, but it's a vibe.
Don't paint the wrong picture. But
what I'm saying is, how have you evolved over time? You know, doing shows, you've been on radio for 9.5 years. Like, what changes have you noticed about yourself as a radio host?
Honestly, it's more about how I was presenting the show. You know, there was certain techniques that I was still trying to discover myself. Like, sometimes I would talk too fast. Sometimes I would talk over songs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would cut songs too early. Sometimes I would talk too slow. Sometimes I would talk a lot. You know what I mean? There's all these little details that you need to pay attention to. A lot of the times you just need to pay attention how not to irritate the people listening to you. It took me a while to discover my persona, or actually the accurate right persona to be on the radio, you know. When to talk, when to shut up. You need to know when to shut up, you know. You need to know how many words to say. Sometimes you can't just sit there and blubber all the time, you know.
It's true.
So it took me a while to learn all of that.
But how did you learn that? I mean, were you getting feedback? Because I know now, you know, with us in radio, it's just constant feedback. You know, there's always constant.
Sorry, my cats are fighting in the background.
Yeah, your cats are crazy, man. They're wild, man.
They're cute cats. So.
Beautiful, man. They're
two Scottish folds and one British short hair.
British short hair is the friendliest. It just came straight up to me.
Yeah.
So, what's up, man?
Yeah, Scottish folds are like arrogant. They're like, don't touch me.
They look at you in disgust.
Exactly. You're like,
I came up to one of them and it's like, who's this peasant?
You peasant, what are you doing here with all these microphones?
What are you doing here in the Scottish Highlands?
Come over here and feed us, goddamn.
Feed me, pet me.
Exactly.
So going back to the point, how did you learn? Like, how did you realize these things? Because you mentioned sometimes you were talking too fast, sometimes too slow. Sometimes you got to know when to shut up. Sometimes you got to know. How did you figure these things out and then adjust accordingly?
Honestly, you know what? There was no proper guidance. Sometimes you get some comments here and there, but there was not really guidance. Like, I actually trained myself by myself. So I started picking up on key points, and eventually, just to be real with you, I became comfortable with the microphone. Mm-hmm. And when I became comfortable, my true personality came to surface. And that's what I needed. A lot of the times you're just not comfortable with what you're doing. You could like it, but you're just not comfortable with it. You know, when I got comfortable, I started realizing that, hey, you know what? I don't need to do anything extra. I can just be me. And that's honestly the major key. And I would just get on air now and I would say a couple of things and as if I'm talking to you right now and people enjoy it because you're comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. For people thinking that you're putting on a persona on air, it's not true. I mean, this is the same things you say on air, the same things you say when we're just hanging out.
Because sometimes when I go out and they'll be like, do your radio personality. I'm like, what do you mean, do your radio personality?
This is me.
It's me. You know, how do you know I don't talk like this every day?
Yeah.
It's like that famous Dave Chappelle joke, you know what I mean? Killing them softly.
Killing them softly, exactly. I can tell you guys, this is how
I talk every day. But then sometimes they'll be like, okay, do the radio voice. And I'll be like, you're tuning in. And I would stare at them randomly. And
like, they love it. They freak out.
Some of them, yeah, they act weird about it.
Your cat's checking out their cigars.
Yeah, man, they're enjoying the cigars. They're like, what is this weird smell?
Yeah. Cats are curious, man.
Yeah, because I don't smoke in the house, to be honest.
So are we screwing that up right now?
It's all right. It's once in a blue moon, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how I really picked it up. I just realized that you need to be comfortable with yourself and my personality developed that way.
Are we looking at, you know, the final form of Ahmed Shaheen as a radio host, or do you feel like there's still a lot more for you to learn and grow?
Well, of course. There's always space to grow and learn, especially when it comes to the art of interviewing, right? And that's a whole nother dimension.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How to deal with a character on air, because you're dealing with a whole new human being. And sometimes a lot of these people, in your mind, you're going to get perfect interview.
Hmm.
But in reality, a lot of the times you're not. You know, some people are just uncomfortable. Some people are stressed first time in front of the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and sometimes people over talk. Sometimes they don't talk. You ask them a question and it's not really a yes or no, obviously, question, because you don't do that.
Yeah.
Really. And then they just give you a really short answer and you just sit there like, do you want to add more? Would you like to add more?
What do you do? I mean, what do you do in those situations? Because, you know, interviewing is one of those skills. You can talk to someone off air. It's happened to me before. And they have a lot to say. And then once you go on air, man, you're interviewing them. You have to pull information out. And you're just like looking at them like, what happened to all the stuff you were talking about? It's true.
Sometimes when that happens, I you know what I do? I just talk to them as if it's not an interview. Like it's an actual conversation. I avoid the Q&As. Like it's more of a conversation based.
Yeah. You try to get them comfortable.
You just get them comfortable. You know, just like, for example, I wouldn't be like, so, how did you start this initiative? I'm like, this is a really cool initiative. How did you come up with this idea? You know, I'm very curious.
Oh.
People feel comfortable when you don't, you make it less formal.
Less of a Q&A, make them feel comfortable.
Exactly. And I've always got this comment where you make us feel comfortable. I don't know necessarily how I do it, but when I'm in the zone, I just know how to make people get comfortable.
Man. Yeah, you do.
And just get into the conversation, you know? And I like that. I like that because at the end of the day, you know, I'm dealing with a human being. You know,
have you ever had an interview where you're like, this is just a disaster? You know, like,
Oh, yeah. You always got to get those.
Yeah.
Those are essentials.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things. You can't avoid it.
You can't avoid it. You know,
what's your thought process? If you're having an interview on air, let's say it's not going anywhere or it's going bad and you still have time that you need to fill on air.
Yeah.
What's your thought process? Do you just try to salvage it? Like, what do you do?
Honestly, I just try to get it on, you know, and just get over with it. But I also be fair. Like, I don't try to make it shorter or longer. You know, I try to push the personality to come out as its real self. So I try to do my best to make them comfortable, to try to talk more. Sometimes off air, I'll be like, you know, you want to express yourself more. Like, right. I give them some tips.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so they can feel like, hey, you know, yeah, this, I can really talk to this person. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. A lot of the times you just need to talk to them off air and they realize like, oh, I like this person. I can really talk to them. But some people, they're just not content givers.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a lot of substance. Yeah, they can be doing something cool, but it's an interview based. They don't have much to say, you know.
For some of the interviews that I was doing, you'd get a few people that you interview and they just have like a memorized PR script from their company. And they don't go off that. They don't give you, it's just, this is a script. If you give them follow-up questions and things like that, you realize they just have this whole thing memorized.
Yeah, a lot of people do work that way, which is annoying. Because I don't like scripted interviews.
No, yeah.
Personally. Yeah, like, okay, I will send you questions, you know, just so you can know what's going to come your way. Also, we deal with a lot of pop culture. Sometimes you just want people to be fun and relaxed.
Right. You interview a lot of musicians, a lot of artists.
Yeah, I've had a bunch.
People in fashion.
I've had a bunch. It's funny how, you know, I was always surprised that I've dealt with so many different people, from politicians to activists to fashion designers to musicians also and athletes.
Each person is unique and they come with their, you know, own quirks and ways they express themselves and things like that. You know, there's people that send messages and the radio. You get a bunch of messages every day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What's the strangest message you can't forget till now.
I remember this guy sent me a text one day with an evening show, and he was like, oh man, you know, I'm driving my friend to the airport. I've been in love with her for the past like 5 years or something, and I don't know how to confess it. And I was reading the message. I was like, this is too real. So why are you telling me? You know? And he's like, I don't know what to do. And then he requested a song. In my head, I'm like, let me help this guy out.
Okay.
So I got on air and I was like, big shout outs to you, sending lots of love. And I said something that showcased that he has a crush on her.
Okay.
Dude sent me a text after. He was like, you know, he was mad as shit. He was like, why did you do that?
He was mad at you?
He was mad at me.
The dude's telling you, I don't know what to do. Yeah. You know, I'm dropping this girl off. She's my friend. I have feelings for her.
And she's leaving to the airport. He's traveling. So I was like, let me help this dude out. You know?
Thought you were helping him and he gets mad at you.
Gets mad at me. And I was
what'd he say?
I don't know, man. But he was like ranting on the message. He's like, what are you doing? We're not supposed to do that. I was like, bro, you know, you asked for my help and I gave you my help, you know? I just don't know if they got together or not, but I don't think they did. He probably got friend zoned really hard.
Probably hates you till this. Damn you,
Ahmed. You know?
It's all because of that, you know?
All that, that radio ruined my life. Now the dude is in probably in sibling zone, you know?
Yeah.
That's the last level of zones, you know what I mean?
Damn, bro.
You're my brother. So yeah, that's one of the weirdest messages. I get a lot of weird stuff, you know? But yeah, I got a lot of weird stuff. I got a lot of weird stuff. Okay, the cat is playing with the wire. The cat is
playing with the wires. Oh, the more we move it, the more... Oh, he's biting it. This is the new one, huh?
Yeah, this one was... Oh, it was a gift. You know, I've never met people that gift you exotic cats before, but like I had a call from a girl who's a friend of mine, and she had it. She turned out to be really super allergic. She's like, dude, can I give you a cat as a present?
I mean, that's my kind of gift.
I was very suspicious at first. I was like, kind of cats are we talking about?
Exactly. Yeah, you expect some street... Because usually when people give you cats...
Yeah, they give you street cats.
I mean, not hating on street cats. I love cats and all animals, but I mean, if you're going to give me a cat, like...
No, I can't do street cats.
Give me one of these.
Then she just gave it to me. You know, it was real nice.
That's nice of her.
Now I just have three cats and I don't know what to do with them.
There's a lot of people posting on social media about what's going on in Sudan. I'm not going to lie and pretend to know much about what's going on.
Sudan has been in a very tough situation since independence. You know, the military has always been in power ever since independence. There was two successful military coups, one that lasted for 16 years and one that lasted for 30 years.
One was back in the 60s, one was back in the 80s. And I guess this is the third one.
This is the third one. Okay. But those two were successful military coups. This one is still, you know, people are still revolting. And
so this isn't a military coup. So who's in charge right now? The military? Right?
The military so far, yes. A lot of the civil government were locked up in prison.
So this is like an uprising of the people.
Uprising of the people, yeah. Basically, they don't want military to be in power anymore. But yet again, it's very hard because the military has been in power since independence, right, and they own 70% of countries.
They have all the weapons. They're the military,
of course, and you know, and that's always been an issue. And so the people are revolting, and there's civil disobedience all over the country. And they were like, "Yeah, you're never gonna get in power again." So it's a tough call. So if you're hearing this, support Sudanese people. You know, keep them in your mind and hearts.
Man, Sudan has a lot of potential in many aspects. There's a lot of people who are doctors and educated people coming out of Sudan, and most of them have to go to the diaspora because the economy is so bad, the situation is so bad, which is a shame because then Sudan misses out on all these talented, educated people that can contribute to society. And that's the situation that you're seeing in many places, man. And are you hopeful? Are you hopeful?
You know what? I believe in the will of the people. And diaspora is a very rough experience. You know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It's that idea of sense of belonging. You know, you try to belong somewhere, try to define what is home. And a lot of times I thought going back to Sudan would feel like home. But yet again, I go back and I feel like a stranger. It's that whole crisis of identity and who you are as an individual, right? You
know, I think a lot of people are going through that.
Especially in this modern day and age. But again, I feel like we're very systemized to believe that there's a place that you can really belong to and you can call it home. You can't define these things, you know. There's so many definitions that could define what a home is. And, you know, you ask yourself a lot of these questions. Because when you go back to Sudan, I go back to Sudan and I try to relate to the culture there. Sometimes I can't, you know, I can't relate to the average human being that, you know, I have cousins and friends that live there that never came out of Sudan, and I tried to relate to them. It's a bit rough, you know, it's just a different mentality.
There's a whole notion of third culture kid. I consider myself a third culture kid, or you don't belong anywhere, you know, you're just, you've lived.
Like half Kiwi, half
Palestinian?
Half Palestinian, that's it. Yeah, you're a rough story, bro. Diaspora of a Palestinian too.
What I'm saying is, you know, it's just a whole thing. A lot of people feel that way. This whole notion of home is an interesting topic. You know, is it a physical place?
Yeah.
Is it family? Is it the space and how you fill the space? Is it your cats that are over here? What is that notion of home?
Because I was always trying to figure out what home is. And especially because Sudanese people are very complex identity too. Is that whole idea of Sudan itself being a national state? Because in history, it's just a combination of different races just combined together. And it's a very complex identity
ethnicity. And I've heard Sudanese people talk about this whole notion of, you know, being African or being Arab or a combination of both. Like, how do you identify? How do you feel like as a Sudanese person?
You know what? I remember I read this book. I think it's very common. A lot of people read it. It was called Killer Identities by Amin Maalouf. He's actually Lebanese and he's based in France. He wrote this book about identity and the different development and characteristics of what identity. Because a lot of times people try to define their identity by one aspect. And in reality, you can, because your identity is very diverse and it's constantly developing and it's constantly changing. And your identity is a mashup of everything. You know,
there's layers to it.
There's so many layers to it. In reality, you can't find one identity. You just got to accept all the different layers of your own identity and the constant development of it. That's something that took me a lot of time to accept. You know, at some point I was like, yeah, I'm Arab. And then I get irritated. And I'm like, no, I'm African. In reality, I'm a bit of both, yeah. You know? And then I have so many other layers that creates who Shaheen is, you know, his educational background, his social experience, his
living in the diaspora, being a guy.
You know, you just got to accept who you are as a Sudanese, you know, and that's the mashup of both. You're the child of both cultures.
But man, yeah, you guys have incredible pyramids. And you show me pictures. I'm like, wow. Like, everybody goes to Egypt, to the pyramids, and Sudan's got its own ancient treasures.
Dude, I didn't even know we have pyramids. And the funny part is, I used to live 30 minutes away from these pyramids.
You ever been?
Never been till today. Can you imagine? Oh. And I used to, like, my grandma's house is literally 30, because I live in Chendi, which is up north, and I'm from Chendi originally, where the pyramids are located around that area. Even when I was a kid there, because I was born in Sudan, I never knew we had pyramids. It was never in the history books. I never read them. I've never seen them.
Why? I mean, you'd think that's something. Countries usually make big deals about things that are a lot less significant than this.
Yeah.
And you'd think having pyramids, ancient pyramids.
Oh man, I don't know. I think it was just what is so-called the missing kingdom, you know? And of course, there's a lot of political aspects behind this and a lot of theories why this was not really promoted, the national heritage. We have so many pyramids. We have around 200 and something pyramids.
Damn.
Yeah. Just smaller size than the Egyptian pyramids, yeah. But there are many. And some of them actually got blown up back because there was a lot of...
Blown up by who?
Treasure hunters back in the day. Yeah, because they used to steal gold and stuff from these pyramids. And
it's like the Sphinx.
You know, technically, that, yeah. So there was a lot of these treasure hunters. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And if you go there, it's a very nice place, but it's kind of spooky, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because there's pyramids and just 200 of them and, you know, the black pharaohs that used to live there.
There's so much to learn and uncover from the past.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Conversation started.
From radio to this.
What's your experience like dating now in your 30s?
You know what? Like, there's a whole lot of confusion going on between men and women, you know? So
okay. I like where this is going.
No, I'm being real. You know, it's I always had a theory, and I still believe in it. I feel like the more we develop as human beings, the more complex the relationship gets between men and women, you know? And especially because gender roles are not as they used to be. We're surpassed what is so-called the conventional gender roles. And,
right.
And I know gender roles are something that is, what's the word for it?
It's subjective.
Subjective.
Yeah, everyone has different opinions on gender roles.
Exactly. And then, you know, especially in the Middle East, the idea of gender roles changing is still a very new concept to us. I feel like both genders are just not really trying to sit down and understand each other. We have a long way to go until both genders. But there's some good development. You see the younger generation and there's more of mutual respect between each other. But yet again, the road is still very...
It's a long and bumpy road.
It's a very long and bumpy road. And... But I feel like what's missing now is just dialogue. You know, you need to sit down and you need to discuss the issues that you face. I know it sounds simple, but in reality, you don't have any other way. Oppression somehow helps people develop faster because they're oppressed. So they're trying to search for ways to break away from that oppression and develop and find themselves. And I feel like women have took advantage of that and they became way more mentally developed than men in the Middle East. And then they became more stronger and more self-sufficient. Of course, for men, that's very hard. You know, a lot of times men, they have that egotistical belief that a woman should always constantly need them. And stuff like that. They're still built in a very classical form, you know, based on previous times or our grandparents' times where a woman does this and she has to need a man and he's a supplier and she just needs to sit there and wait for him and listen to all what he says and stuff like that and tend it to his needs physically and emotionally, etc. But it doesn't work that way. But nowadays, I feel like since we're entering this into this economy of individuality where people have to actually gain their own means, whether they're women or men, you know, economy is hard nowadays. You gotta earn your bread, you know, whether you're a man or woman. So you as a man who still believe in, you know, conventional gender roles, it's going to be hard for you to function with a woman who's somehow more elevated than you mentally.
Right.
She's not going to accept that conventional kind of lifestyle.
Someone like that, it's...
But at the end of the day, it's just a personal choice.
Yeah.
Like, what do you really want? You know what I mean?
You just have to find what you want.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a lot of false conversations about find yourself and discover yourself. And I remember I read this thing by Wasim Al-Araj. I really liked it. He's like, you're never going to succeed if you actually discover who you are as an individual. When are you going to reach a point where you realize this is who I am as an individual?
That's an interesting point, but...
Does that make sense? Like, how are you going to reach a point and be like, this is my elevated self?
Yeah. At the same time, I do believe that it is important to look inwards and it's important to reflect. And we talked about this on the way here, you know, journal and really get to know yourself. A lot of people don't spend the time to do that difficult work of discovering yourself and getting to know who you are and what you like and what you don't like and the different paths you could go and just really taking the time to map out your life, what you want, your priorities, and reflecting, getting to know yourself. So a lot of people get too caught up in life, too caught up with work and the whole system. They don't take time to smell the flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, you miss on that. You miss on living life. Somehow I feel like I'm different than that. You know, I was never really one of those workaholics. I enjoy my free time. I have a lot of free time and that's something that I'm very thankful for. I think actually one of the definitions of being successful is to actually have free time.
Really? Yeah.
You know,
time is the most valuable thing.
Exactly. You know, you're not meant to be working 24/7 you're not a machine, man. You're a human being. You know, you're not just, and I feel like this is a false idea that is being shoved into people's mind. Like you're born to work and you're going to discover your true self by working 24/7 and making capita.
It's like a toxic work culture. It's a toxic corporate work culture. People are just working day and night. And
that's sometimes I hear it a lot from women also, where they'll be like, you know, I want to discover myself by somehow just being successful in my career. And I feel like I'm going to be a little bit, I'm like,
that's the wrong approach. That's not discovering yourself.
Like, okay, that's one aspect of yourself. That's not the whole collective entity of who you are as an individual or a human being.
Then they become really high up in this position. They're really good at that position, but that's not discovering yourself. I truly believe discovering yourself is trying new things, new experiences, getting outside your comfort zone, figuring out the things you like, the things that give you fulfillment and meaning. You know, people chase these positions and try to, you know, become CEOs or managers and companies and working their asses off. And then once they get there, they don't feel fulfilled. They still feel that emptiness inside.
People just focus on one aspect and they realize like, oh, this is who I am as an individual. If I'm making a lot of money and I'm successful in my career, then that's good for you, man. But at the same time, you need to look into the overall picture. I remember I read something years back by Elijah Izzet-Begovic. He wrote a great book called Islam Between East and West. And I read that basically in my international relations major. It was a free reading kind of thing. And then I read something and it was called Escape to My Freedom. And he wrote that when he was in Soviet prisons. Mm-hmm. He was locked up for 8 years.
Gulag.
Oh yeah, he was in the dark. He spent 8 years in those prisons. And he was the president of Bosnia.
He's a Bosnian writer.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, one of the best philosophers that I've ever read too. You know, they say there's always a book that changed a man's life. A book really changed me, man. You know, and so he was saying, in order for you to reach that elevated humanitarian level, you need to be social with people. Mm. You can't reach that on a solo journey. That's one of the things that I hated also about social media and dating in a way, where they used to promote a lot of solitude, cut the world, you don't need anybody, and you can grow on your own. It's not true, man. You know, we're social beings. You know, we need to function in a society. You know,
there's a lot of fulfillment that you get from family, from friends, from involved in something, being involved in, you know, people overlook hobbies and passions as well. Maybe you're passionate about music, maybe you're passionate about, I don't know, some sport or gardening or whatever. I feel like those are the things that contribute to the fulfillment, because do you really get fulfillment from working crazy hours and being a boss and having that power over people? Is that really going to make you feel fulfilled inside?
That's a tough thing, man. And I feel like that's modern day enslavement, man. You know, they're enslaving everybody into this workforce where they define success by just overworking and creating this dystopian kind of reality where it's all about capita and it's all about somehow overlooking human connections are beautiful, man. You know, if you actually, you know, they overlook the actual genuinity behind human connections. If you find a real genuine connection and that you enjoy with someone that you can elevate with on a soul to soul base, you know, and that's very rare, you know. That's what I think what we lack nowadays. We lack genuine connections.
Because when you're younger, man, everything's just kind of quick and you're fired up and there's the heat of the moment. I think it's important to really get to know the person.
Yeah.
Don't rush things, because things reveal themselves over time. People can put on a personality or they can act a certain way for 6 months, a year. But like over time and through experiences, you really get to know the person. The layers get peeled.
If the connection is there, it's there. You know, sometimes you don't need to wait 6 months or a year to feel like you really connect with this song. You know, okay. Sometimes it happens instantly, and that's it. As if you've known these people for years, and that's the beauty of and the mystery of human emotions and connections. Because I hear a lot of people, they're like, "Oh no, I got to wait a year to know if this person is the one or not." And I'm like, you don't need a time frame. They always believe that love comes with time.
But I do think it's important not to rush, like to really get the time to know someone. Now, to be fair, you're saying, you know, it's on a person to person basis. You might feel, okay, I need a year to get to know this person. The problem with dating now is people are confused. They're confused in what sense? And you talked about them having like ideals. Where do these ideals of love come from?
You cannot trace one source of what really creates a very cultural phenomenon that somehow, you know, eludes you too far away from your realistic truth. And I feel a lot of times there's a lot of aspects or a lot of key points that are missing. And you don't learn that from school. You don't learn it from your parents. You don't learn it unless you're lucky, you know.
You barely learn anything from school that matters in my opinion.
You don't, you know, like I don't even know what I've learned from school. You know?
Financial intelligence, how to start a business, how to blah, blah, blah. Nothing.
Systematical education is just no.
I will never forget this thing that my cousin Mahmoud, shout out to my cousin Mahmoud.
Shout out to Mahmoud.
Yeah. he dropped some major keys. When I was going through a bad relationship, he said to me, you know, a relationship is made up of two individuals.
True.
Who are happy on their own. They don't need anyone. They don't need anything. They're happy on their own. That come together and they're happier together.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. If the person you're dealing with is not balanced, if they're not happy on their own.
Yeah.
It's hard to build a relationship with someone who, and we all have personal issues, trauma, things that we need to deal with. But I feel like before getting into a relationship, it's important to deal with those things and really figure yourself out.
See, I don't believe in that. Like, what's the word? I mean, I'm not your therapist and she's not my therapist either. Just because we're in a relationship doesn't expect me to heal you. But
right, but you expect the other person to come into the relationship having done some work on themselves, not dumping everything on you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't come into this relationship assuming that, you know, I'm going to heal you. So what I just want to say is that a lot of the times people reflect a lot of these insecurities and issues on you. It's true. I agree that sometimes you need to sit down and just know your personality traits and also know your toxic behavior. So I don't think there's a limit where you're going to sit down and be like, oh, I figured myself completely 100%.
No. That's not, look, his point is not that. His point is you can't come into a relationship, you know, when you haven't done any work on yourself and expect the other person to fix you, come into a relationship with all this trauma, all this baggage, and they throw that on you and it's already, the relationship's already doomed to fail.
Yeah. I always used to say, just because you're in love, it doesn't mean it has to end in a happy way. Just because you have a soulmate doesn't mean you have to find them. I'm being real.
It's a deep cut. So you can say, so there can be a soulmate out there for you, but you may never find them and you may die.
Yeah, you know,
without ever meeting your soulmate.
That's the thing. That's the cliche mindset of human beings. Just, they believe that you have a soulmate and you're going to find them. And they believe just because you're in love, it's going to end up in a happy ending. There's that selfish human desire that always wants to bend reality to our own desires.
Yeah.
You know, you can't bend reality to your own selfish desires. And I think that's one of the most toxic things. I mean, you come up to this world and you have that self-entitlement where I'm a human being and I'm entitled to this.
You're entitled to shit.
You're entitled to shit.
No, the force of the world is so powerful.
Yeah, man. You think you control the world with the world.
Oh, you can't, man. Anything can happen. We are at the mercy of life. Man, we are at the mercy of health. I always pray for good health, the health of all my loved ones and friends, because as human beings, we're so fragile.
Like, let me tell you something. I was raised by my parents, and I thought my parents were always gonna be here until I turned like 50 or like something like that. Not really. You know, both passed away at the age of, I was 27 and then I was 29. My biological mother passed away when I was young. So I was raised by my aunt and uncle, and both of them passed away in the past 4 years. So, you know, I've never expected that. I've never built that scenario in my heart.
Yeah, these are things that we don't want to think about. I mean, even
it's adulthood, you know. You live to see your parents, you know, get sick and pass away. It hits you hard, man. It really does. Yeah, some people can't really survive out of that trauma, you know.
Yeah,
but I was lucky enough that I was strong enough to deal with it and just overwalk it and accept the fact that, hey, look, this is life. And there's not really much you can do, you know. That's what it is. We hit the pinnacle of the conversation. Thank you so much for having me. I really wish you luck. You're a great host. When the world doesn't believe in you, you got to believe in yourself.
I love that, man.
Yeah, that's how you prove your existence, really. So big shout outs to the podcast, to the host, to the cats, to these nice cigars.
All right, dude.
Take care.
You've been listening to Curated Advice on Better Living. It's our passion to interview guests on their experiences to bring you different perspectives on personal development, on everything from healthy habits to mindset to relationships to functional movement and biohacking. We hope you've enjoyed the show. And we hope you've gotten some information that can change your mindset. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, we'll leave you with this from Bruce Lee.
Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow, or it can crash. Be water, my friends.